Hi there, you're listening to the Paralegals on Fire podcast show, where you'll be getting tips and actionable strategies that you can use right now to fast track your paralegal career. I'm your host, Ann Pearson, former paralegal and paralegal manager who left big law in the concrete jungle to start my own company, the Paralegal Bootcamp, where we give online courses that help paralegals make more money, increase their job security, and cut out the learning curve. All right, let's jump right into today's episode. This is episode 120, How to Get Promoted to a Paralegal Position. Before I talk about that, I want to invite you to a live event that I'm going to be doing next week. I'm hosting a free masterclass. That's a fancy way of saying a webinar training. It's called The Roadmap to Six-Figure Earnings, Insider Strategies for New Litigation Paralegals. Why am I calling it insider strategies? Well, because I'm going to go back to my paralegal manager days and pull back the curtains on what I would want to see from a paralegal to give them a bigger raise or bonus, and one that was above the norm. I'm also going to talk about how I did it decades ago, got to six figures as a paralegal. That was before I was a paralegal manager. In today's dollars, that $100K would be the equivalent of around $150,000 today. Now, can you attend if you're not a new litigation paralegal? Sure. But I would add the caveat that the insider strategies that I'm going to give in this masterclass are things to do early in your career. So they might not be as relevant to somebody who's already been working in litigation for 10 plus years. Also, if you've been working for 10 plus years, hopefully you're already at six figures. Now, you might also ask, well, what if I'm a real estate paralegal or a corporate paralegal? The thing is, I don't have experience getting a real estate paralegal to six figures, but I do know what it takes to get a litigation paralegal to six figures. You're welcome to attend, though. It is not restricted. I just like to keep it very specific so that when you attend, you know what you're getting and that you don't look at it like it might be a waste of your time. All right, back to the masterclass details. If you're new or somewhat new to litigation and you want to get the roadmap, you can join me on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern, or Saturday, April 27th at 12 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to hold one on May 1st too, but you can get the date at the website page. It's paralegal-bootcamp.com/roadmap. I'll also put a link in the show notes. I'm really excited about this one. It's the first time I'm doing something like this. I decided I wanted to do this because, as you know, my mission is to help paralegals earn more money, fast-track their career growth, and enjoy the work that they do. That's the goal behind every course that I create, every podcast episode that I put out, every blog article that gets published. All of those are done with that mission in mind. I ask myself, does this episode or blog article or course, does it do at least one of those three things? Does it help them earn more money? Does it advance their career? Does it lead them towards work that they really enjoy doing? Oh, and one more thing before I jump into the episode, I want to take the time to thank a podcast reviewer. You guys listened to those requests. So Wicked Tricks, that's Wicked T-R-I-X, wrote, I love this podcast and all the knowledge that she provides us. So encouraging. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you, Wicked Tricks. You made my day, really. I love reading those reviews. All right, let's get started on this episode. If you're like many paralegal graduates, you might have had to take any position you could to get your foot in the door after completing your paralegal certificate program. I'm seeing this a lot, especially in the last session that opened up for the litigation boot camp in January. More so in those recent enrollments. In fact, I was a little surprised at how many this time around were working as a legal assistant or a receptionist at a law firm. They have a paralegal certificate and they joined the litigation boot camp to better prepare them to get that promotion. What they didn't realize is that by taking the course, they're already giving themselves a huge leg up to get that promotion. But I know not everyone is in litigation and not everyone can join me in the litigation bootcamp. So I thought I'd give you some actionable strategies to help you get promoted to a paralegal position if you're currently working in a law firm in another role, a role that you took just to get your foot in the door. There are four things that I think you can do that will help you get promoted sooner. One is exceed their expectations in your current role. No matter what your current title is now, whether it's file clerk, legal assistant, docket clerk, or receptionist, the most important thing that you can do right now is to exceed their expectations. If you're the firm's receptionist, you should be the best receptionist that firm has ever seen. I was chatting with someone a while back who was frustrated that she'd been at the firm for 6 months and hadn't been offered a paralegal position yet. I asked, you know, how are you doing in your current role, in your receptionist role? And she said, okay, but I didn't go to school to be a receptionist and I've never been one before. It's harder than I thought it would be. Yes, it is harder. You'd be surprised. The receptionist is the front lines of the law firm, right? So it is harder. But what I said to her was, well, you've also never been a paralegal before. So what you're showing the firm is that you're not good at taking on new roles that you've never done before. And that's not a good vision for them to have. I don't care if you took a position as a file clerk or cleaning bathrooms, whatever it is. You should go above and beyond what's expected of any position that you're hired for. All right, so actionable strategy number one is to exceed their expectations in your current role, no matter what role that is. Two would be take on paralegal projects while you're in that non-paralegal role. The best way to prove to someone that you would make a good paralegal is to do some of the work that paralegals are doing. Now, I've got a couple of warnings or things to watch out for with this one, though. First, if you're going to do a paralegal project, do the best possible work that you've ever done. If it's a research project, then leave no stone unturned when you're doing that research. Whatever it is that's coming up with the project, the final work product of it, make it the best possible work product that you can put forward. Now, I think that's a given, but I had to say it. All right. The second part, now this is still just number two, where you're working on paralegal projects. If you're doing a paralegal project, don't neglect or sacrifice the duties of your current position to do the paralegal project. I'll give you a perfect example of how this could come back to bite you. I was consulting at a personal injury firm a while back, and they had a receptionist who had a paralegal certificate, and she was doing what I'm talking about here. She needed a job. She had no experience. The firm didn't have a paralegal opening, so she took the receptionist position. She was bright and personable, so the paralegals would give her projects when they were busy. She did a great job on those projects. Fast forward 6 months, and there's a paralegal opening at the firm. The attorney said no. They said at least twice a week, they'd walk into a conference room with a client, and there were coffee cups and water bottles still on the table from the previous meeting. Either that or a client would tell the attorney that they were tired of being sent to voicemail. The attorneys didn't know that the paralegals were giving the projects to the receptionist. They were oblivious. They just thought she wasn't a very good receptionist. And because they didn't know she was working on these projects, they also didn't know that she was doing a great job on these paralegal projects because the attorneys weren't giving her the work, the paralegals were. Now, before you start feeling bad for this young woman, let me fast forward to the happy ending for you. I was able to explain what was happening behind the scenes to the attorneys and tell them some of the feedback from the paralegals on the great job that she was doing. The attorneys agreed to a 90-day probationary period as a paralegal, and she ended up passing with flying colors. If someone hadn't stepped in, though, that might have turned out completely different for that person. All right, so actionable strategy number two is to take on paralegal projects, but do so without sacrificing your current job duties. Number three, get additional training beyond your paralegal certificate. I know you guys are probably tired of hearing me say it, but I'm telling you, it works. Regardless of the role that you're hired for as your first position, you really need to get additional training beyond what you received in that paralegal certificate program. And notice I said training, not CLE. Not that CLE webinars are bad, but what I'm talking about is something that you can add to your resume that adds value in true training, something that you can talk to the office manager about when you're asking for that promotion. Let's say you're a legal assistant who wants to be promoted to a paralegal position. You've been working at the firm for a year and you hear about a paralegal position opening up in the litigation department. When you go talk to the office manager and say, I received my paralegal certificate a year ago. I've been working as a legal assistant and I'd like to be considered for this paralegal position. You want to be able to walk in there with something other than just a paralegal certificate. That office manager is going to receive dozens of resumes the first day that the position is posted externally to Indeed or LinkedIn or wherever. Most of those resumes are going to be from people who might have 3 to 5 or 7+ years or more of experience. Why should the firm consider you? You might be saying, well, because I work here. That's why they should be considering me. Yes, that's a huge plus, but only if you've been doing number one and number two that I mentioned. If I was that office manager, the first thing I'd ask is, well, so I see that you've been out of school for 1 year. Have you taken any additional paralegal training that would help you succeed in this new paralegal role? As that office manager, the last thing I want to hear is, no, I've been too busy. And another thing that I don't want to hear is, well, yeah, I go to the local paralegal association lunch and learns. And this is nothing, nothing at all against paralegal associations. You know, I'm a huge advocate for paralegals joining their local associations, but not for the free training. You know why it's free with your lunch or your dinner? Because the speaker is also free and they're not training you. They're enlightening you about a topic that they're passionate about. Either that or they're a vendor who's going to pitch you to buy something at the end. Do I speak for paralegal associations for free? Occasionally, yeah, but not on a topic that I teach inside my courses that is the true training that I'm providing. Those are courses that people have to pay for. If an association wants one of those topics, they'd have to pay for it. Think about it. If I taught, let's say, my trial prep boot camp in an association's conference, why would anyone want to pay for the course? I wouldn't be in business for very long. You might be thinking, well, wait a minute. Aren't you technically speaking for free every week on this podcast? Yes, I am. But I'm not putting my course content inside the podcast. I know that not everyone works at a firm who's willing to pay for a course for their paralegals. And I still want to be able to help you if that's you. Now, am I able to help you at the same level as I am inside my courses? No. But based on the DMs I receive every day, the topics I speak about on the podcast are pretty helpful for paralegals. Okay, I digressed. Let's go back to the sit down with the office manager. That person will be impressed when you say to them, yes, as a matter of fact, I did some research last year and I talked to a few of the paralegals here who suggested I learn everything that I can about XYZ. So I found a highly rated online course about XYZ and I took it on the weekends so that when a position opened up here, I'd be the best person equipped to handle the new role. Also, throughout the last year, I've had the opportunity to help out on several big projects for the paralegals. And then you list out what skill or experience you've gained with each of those projects. List them all out. Which brings me back to, if you're not already writing this stuff down in some type of journal, start doing that now, please. I've said this before probably dozens of times just in this podcast episode alone. Now, sorry. Look, I've said this before probably dozens of times on this podcast, but I'm going to keep saying it because it's so important for new paralegal graduates to understand. Your paralegal certificate program did not train you to be a great paralegal. You have to go get additional training that's specific to your practice area, and then you have to put the training into practice. All right, so actionable strategy number 3 was get additional training beyond your paralegal certificate. Number 4, you have to ask for the promotion. So this is last but definitely not least. In fact, I almost say this is one of the most important ones. You have to ask for the promotion. Even if you told them when you were in the interview for that receptionist position that you had a paralegal certificate and that you wanted eventually to be promoted to a paralegal position, they don't remember it now. Even if you told an attorney or two throughout the last year that you have a paralegal certificate, they're not assuming anything. You can't assume that they know that you want a promotion. So even if you've told every paralegal who works in the firm that you have a paralegal certificate and they know that, so that's why they've been giving you these projects. Even if you've done that, you still have to ask for the promotion. You can't assume that just because they know that you have a paralegal certificate that they're going to walk into your office one day and say, hey, do you want to be promoted to a paralegal? Does it happen? Sometimes, but not that often. I don't care if you've told every person in the firm, I've got a paralegal certificate. It doesn't matter. You have to ask for the promotion. And I want you to do this right now. Well, wait, what if there's no opening? I still want you to do it. Here's why. Behind the scenes, there could be someone, maybe an HR or an office manager, paralegal manager, managing partner. There could be someone in the firm who knows they're going to be letting someone go next month. Or there could have been a paralegal who put in their notice and it's just not been made public to the rest of the people at the firm yet. This is not the time to just casually remind them that you have a paralegal certificate when you're asking. This is the time for you to go to your attorney or the office manager, whoever it is, and ask to be promoted to a paralegal position. If you don't advocate for yourself, no one else will. You might be thinking, but what if they say no? Well, then they say no. Remember Kim Barrett was on the podcast? She said, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. It might just be a no, not at this time, because we don't have an open position and we don't have the budget to add on another paralegal position. At least now you're on their radar and you've made it clear that you want the next position that's opened. All right, well, how do you ask? Well, simply say, I would like to be promoted to a paralegal position. Do you have a few minutes to talk about that? Then you tell them why. Like I discussed earlier, though, why would you be qualified? What would you be saying right when you're talking to HR? If they say no, and it's because of the budget and there's no position, etc., then I want you to ask a follow-up and say, is there anything specific that I can do between now and the next opening that would increase my chances for promotion to a paralegal position? And whatever they tell you, go start doing it right now. If they say, well, you should get training on e-discovery or drafting discovery or preparing for trial, whatever it is, you write everything down as if it's a checklist and you immediately start working on it. That's your career checklist. So you've got to ask, even if the answer is no. Now you might be saying, well, what if it's yes? Holy cow, what if I literally walk in and this week and they say, yeah, sure, we'll promote you. Then how do I do it? That's going to have to be a whole other episode for sure. So you've got four actionable strategies if you want to be promoted to a paralegal position. Those four, let me go back through and remind you what they were. So number one is you're going to exceed their expectations in your current role, no matter what that role is. Two, you're going to take on paralegal projects while you're in that non-paralegal role. Three, you're going to get additional training beyond just your paralegal certificate. And four, you're going to go ask for that promotion. All right, that's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Bye for now. All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, hit the subscribe button in whatever platform you're listening. And please take a quick minute and leave a review of the podcast and share this episode with just one colleague or friend who you think would benefit from what we discussed today. Share the knowledge and the entire paralegal profession elevates. See you next week. Bye for now.